Welcome to another episode of PhD Bidem Beyond the Lab. Today we'll explore the fascinating world of hematology, and in particular, we will tell you about novel tumor markers. So without further ado, let's begin with Ilaria.
Hello, I'm Ilaria Vigliotta, and I'm in my second year of PhD in hematology. But today I'll be a circulating tumor cell. As a circulating tumor cell, I like to leave the first site of tumors. In the hematology field, often the first site is represented by the bone marrow. And when I leave the bone marrow, I use the peripheral stream to colonize other sites, spreading the tumor, causing metastasis, lesion, and pretty much messing around.
How can we detect and characterize circulating tumor cells?
I can be detected in the peripheral blood by diverse instruments and methods, depending on the physical characteristics such as density or weight or charges, or biological features such as surface markers. Depending on the instrument used, the capacity to detect, recover, and the purity obtained could be very different. Basically, working with the labeled markers, such as in the magnetic separation protocols or in the field of sorting of flow cytometry, you can reach higher sensitivities in terms of count, detection and capture. In the hematology field, and in particular in the multiple myeloma field, I could be differentially detected by two main methods: flow cytometry-based methods and with the cell search platform developed by Menarini Silicon Biosystems. The first, thanks to advent of next-generation flow protocols, has the advantage of phenotypically characterized CTCs, and in the meantime count us as a frequency of CTC versus blood cells. The second method allows to count the CTC with the possibility to extract them from the peripheral blood and then genotypically characterize them after a sequencing that could be in bulk or using single cell separating system could be also much deeper.
Which method is better?
I think that it depends on what aspect you want to study. Are you more interested in the cell expression, or are you more focused on mutation or rather copy number variation? In my opinion, with an unlimited timing and unlimited budget, you should perform both, because everything is important in defining us, aka circulating tumor cell. Not only the amount of us in the peripheral blood, but also how we are characterized. Most of all, because in the majority of tumors, a circulating tumor cells present itself with the same characteristics of the origin tumor cells, such as cell surface markers, vesicles and ctDNA, three other beautiful things that will be presented today. So let's start with cell markers, Nicole.
Hi everyone, I'm Nicole Fincato and I've just started the second year of my PhD in hematology, but today, just for you, I will be an immunological marker of a leukemic cell.
What is an immunological marker?
I am generally defined as an antigen, so a protein or any other molecule that can stimulate the body to produce an immune response against it. Antigens can also be expressed on the surface or within tumor cells, such as leukemic cells, and in this case they can also be used as markers to identify those specific cells. Indeed, as an immunological marker of a leukemic cell, my main role consists in allowing the in vitro phenotypic characterization of leukemic cells in order to obtain a more specific and accurate diagnosis. I can also be used for other purposes, as a target for new immunotherapies, as a tool for the prognostic evaluation of the disease, or as a tool for the monitoring of the minimal residual disease. To make my identification easier, I can also be classified depending on site of expression. In this case, I am called an aberrant marker because I am expressed in a cell lineage which is different from my original one. Time of expression, I am contemporary expressed on immature and mature cells. Change in the amount of expression, my expression is increased or decreased compared to a normal situation.
Which techniques can be used to identify you?
There are two immunostaining methods that can be used to identify me: immunohistochemistry or multiparametric flow cytometry. Immunohistochemistry is a laboratory technique used to find specific antigens in a tissue sample. It is commonly performed in diagnostic laboratories as part of the series of exams that are used to diagnose a disease. The process that allows the identification of a disease-related antigen is based on the Lockheed model. An antibody, the key, is linked to an enzyme that will react if the antibody binds to the target antigen, the Lock. The reaction causes the tissue sample to stain a certain color if the binding between the antibody and the antigen happens. This can be confirmed by observing the tissue sample using an optical microscope. Flow cytometry is a technique that provides rapid multiparametric analysis of single cells. As opposed to immunohistochemistry, multiparametric flow cytometry uses a cell suspension, usually a blood sample, to identify a specific antigen. Cells are stained with fluorescent conjugated antibodies and then acquired at the cytometer. Flow cytometers utilize lasers as light sources to produce both scattered and fluorescent light signals that are read by detectors such as photodiodes. These signals are then converted into electronic signals, which are analyzed by a computer and written to a standardized format data file. Cell population can be identified based on their fluorescent or light scattering characteristics. As for immunohistochemistry, flow cytometry is commonly used in diagnostic laboratories. Now it's time to explore another novel marker, extracellular vesicles, right, Federico?
Hi, I'm Federico Pasini, a first-year PhD student in biomedical sciences, and today I'll be talking as if I were an extracellular vesicle.
As a vesicle, tell us what you are and where we can find you.
We, the extracellular vesicles, are tiny membrane pods released by cells, both thriving ones as well as apoptotic ones. We can't replicate, but we can carry different cargo, including proteins, lipids, DNA and RNA, and we play a role in cell-to-cell interactions. We can be found in many biological fluids, including blood, saliva and cerebrospinal fluid. We can be isolated using different techniques, as ultracentrifugation, which uses forces of around 120,000 times the force of gravity, or size exclusion chromatography, which, as the name suggests, is able to separate different biological entities depending on their size. To give you an idea of our dimensions, our diameter ranges between less than 150 nanometers for exosome to more than 1000 nanometers for large apoptotic bodies. After we have been isolated, we can be characterized.
So, how can you be characterized?
The first step is usually determining our concentration by using microscopy-based techniques or by quantifying total proteins, assuming it always correlates with our concentration. Then, since on our surface there are different markers, you can use flow cytometry to understand which cells released us. Indeed, EVs expresses surface markers of their cells of origin. Another technique to identify which proteins we carry is Western blot. Instead, to determine what nucleic acids we contain in our lumen, you can use PCR or DNA-RNA sequencing. If you want to know more in depth what proteins, lipids and metabolites we contain, you could also use mass spectrometry, which is able to differentiate distinct molecules through their individual mass-to-charge ratios. Until here, you've only heard how you can characterize what we are, but you still don't know how you can characterize what we can do. Functional tests allow you to determine our activities. For EVs, these tests generally include co-culture with different cell types to see if and how we alter their metabolism, growth, and apoptotic rates. In addition to our physiologic functions, you could also use us to monitor diseases. In fact, since we can carry our parent cell markers, you could use that as a fingerprint to identify if diseased cells are present or not. However, we aren't the only biological entity that gets released from cells. Another one is cfDNA. And here Silvia to tell you more about it.
Hi everyone, I'm Silvia Muzzi, a third year PhD student, but today I'm going to introduce you to an alter ego of mine called cell-free DNA or cfDNA. So please, cfDNA, tell us about yourself. Hello there, I'm cell-free DNA. You might know my big brother, the genomic DNA. Well, we share a common last name, but we are quite different from each other, with a specific feature.
What characteristics distinguish you from the genomic DNA?
I'm a fragment of DNA quite small, like around 140-150 base pair, and I can circulate free in the bloodstream, outside the cells. Unfortunately, to do this and to be created, the cell has to die. Yeah, really sad, that's why nobody likes me that much. I can be originated in different ways, like apoptosis and necrosis, and in both healthy and tumor cells. When I'm generated by tumor cells, I'm referred to as a circulating tumor DNA, and I'm characterized by shorter fragments, and I can be an important marker for studying tumor disease.
Now, what is your role in the study of tumor diseases?
Since I can also be produced by tumor cells, I can provide a lot of information about the genetics of the tumor, like mutation, translocation, and deletion. Moreover, since my half-life is relatively short, about 50 minutes to 4 hours, it can reflect the dynamics and describe the recent biological events, like the disease activities. It's quite easy to find me. You just need a simple sample of peripheral blood. I live and float in the plasma, the liquid portion of blood, and you just need a 20-minute centrifugation to isolate the part from the cells. Be careful to collect plasma within 4 hours from the blood collection to guarantee a better preservation of myself. Plasma is usually stored at minus 80 degrees. Yeah, I prefer the cold season, it's quite obvious. And till the day of the extraction, I stay in the fridge. There are multiple ways to analyze me, of which the most comprehensive one is next-generation sequencing, in particular the whole genome sequencing that allows scientists to obtain a comprehensive view of all circulating tumor DNA fragments. The technology can identify mutation, epigenetic changes, single nucleotide variation, and copy number alteration that are particularly important in tumor disease, especially at their beginning.
Thank you, cell-free DNA, and all the other markers for your kind presentation. I was wondering about your role in this student project. So, Silvia, tell us why cell-free DNA is so important in your project.
Well, first of all, my PhD project is about multiple myeloma, a complex and heterogeneous disease that can be expressed at different layers like intratumoral heterogeneity, temporal and spatial heterogeneity. Or in advanced stages of the disease, you can find evidence of organ damages and spreading of plasma cells through the peripheral blood. Nowadays, the evaluation of multiple myeloma at diagnosis and after treatment is based on a single-site bone marrow aspirate, which is an invasive procedure and could describe the patient nature and the spatial heterogeneity of multiple myeloma. So, new solutions are needed, and cell-free DNA could be one of them. You may be wondering why? Well, because with just one easy and non-invasive peripheral blood sample, you can assess the genomic landscape of a patient at the diagnosis and might monitor the disease dynamic. Of course, in context of this project, cell-free DNA results will be compared to the gold standard genomic DNA, and all the data will be integrated with clinical data to give a full description of the patient at the diagnosis. This new compartment of analysis will bring not only advantages from a scientific point of view, but also will represent important improvements in terms of quality of life, especially for highly pre-treated and therefore frail multiple myeloma patients.
And what about you, Ilaria? How do you use circulating tumor cells in your project?
In my PhD project, I have developed a reliable, robust flow cytometry-based protocol to detect and characterize circulating plasma cells, also allowing to differ from aberrant and normal circulating plasma cells, with the aim of defining high-risk multiple myeloma patients on the basis of their spreading capacity to release CTCs in the bloodstream, at the same time to investigate the possibility to delise them to follow the disease dynamics during post-treatment monitoring of multiple myeloma patients.
And you, Nicole, what are you studying?
My PhD research project focuses on the study of the immunological profile of acute myeloid leukemia patients using multiparametric flow cytometry. I developed a specific antibody panel that includes standard and unconventional immunophenotypic biomarkers that will hopefully allow me to obtain a deep and extensive phenotypic characterization of leukemic cells. Another object of my PhD project is to identify novel and stable biomarkers for the monitoring of minimal residual disease in acute myeloid leukemia using flow cytometry. The final goal would be to correlate immunological and minimal residual disease results with clinical data in order to have a wider and more specific knowledge of the disease and also information regarding the impact of minimal residual disease in the risk of relapse and survival of acute myeloid leukemia patients.
Well, and what about you, Federico? What is the focus of your PhD project?
My research project is centered around the study of extracellular vesicles in hematological malignancies, and in particular in myelodysplastic syndromes and in acute myeloid leukemia. During the next 3 years, I'll collect patients and healthy donors' blood samples, and from them I'll isolate extracellular vesicles and immune cells, characterizing them both from a biochemical and from a functional perspective. In particular, I'll be studying the alterations that extracellular vesicles from these diseases induce in the metabolism of immune cells. The logic behind this is that identifying possible immune-modulating mechanisms is pivotal for the development of new targeted therapies. And with that, we wrap up today's episode. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Stay tuned for more episodes of PhD BNEM Beyond the Lab. Until next time!